genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money they don't care. Censorship, force of air, fuck them back, it's only for the war. They shoot, they kill, they massacre rain, they burn the kids, no one lives con. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die, cause God forgive. Buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care. See the shit, force of air, fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape, they burn the kids, no one leaves con. Trees, lie to your faith, fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat, right here on UCY.TV. And it's actually sunny today here. It's not snowing. And I'm actually starting to see some grass. And it's only the 19th of April. Bloody nuts, man. This is so far behind schedule. Our flowers should all be up by now, but they're not. The robins are still looking for some ground so they can go pecking for worms, which I think there's a shortage of because it's still snow. But I think winter might finally be ending, and that would be a good thing. Now, I'm pretty pleased with all the people that donated. You know, it's really, I wish the Humboldt Broncos bus crash that killed 15 players and then the young lady who looked after the injuries in that rehabilitation of the players. Died after the initial accident, killed 15. And it's absolutely amazing. You know, I wish they would have let this run a little bit longer. They shut it down at the end of Wednesday. And, you know, and only, that's pretty phenomenal. You know, that thing only ran for 12 days on GoFundMe. And in the 12 days, 142,000 people donated. And they raised $15,185,500. The initial goal was $4 million. So I really wish they would have let it run one more day. They could have hit the $16 million. Which would have represented $1 million donate for each one that was killed in the crash. But nevertheless, that's a huge outpouring to this group of families that will be attached through this accident for many decades to come, probably ever. So, you know, thumbs up to everyone that donated, and hopefully everything works out well for each of these families. It's got to be bloody devastating. It's a huge number. of deaths in one accident. And the weird part is they still haven't come to any conclusion, apparently, as to what happened, although it looks like the truck driver blew the stop sign. But they're going to drag this out, I guess, for some period of time. Now, we have election coming up here in Ontario, which I'm supposed to be running in. And I'm just going to, I haven't read this yet, I just really got home, but I'm going to buzz through this just to see what kind of nonsense is going on. Political scientist. I mean, they have a scientist for everything, right? You know, a political scientist? I guess that comes in good when they're shoving the political science about global warming, you know, because it's the politico that's shoving it down your throat. We have more strange ministries now. You know, we never had a ministry or a minister of the environment and climate change till a few years ago. And so I guess that's part of the political science thing or the propaganda machine. You have all these politicians. Oh, global warming is real. Well, that would make it. I mean, it makes sense because politicians, like lawyers, are liars. So, you know, when a politician tells you something, you flip it over and you're probably looking at the truth. So when they tell you global warming, man-caused global warming is real, you know right away it's not real. So, you know, and they call it man-caused global warming. They don't call it human-caused global warming, okay? Because according to the Club of Rome, who's the enemy? The enemy is man. Yet all you people are out there running around calling yourselves humans, which means that you accept the fact that you, or that what they say is that you evolved from a great ape. So on the one hand, it's man that's the problem, and we have to save humanity, which is the animals. I wish people could understand the lingo that they use. People don't pay any attention to the wording that's used. Anyways, let's see what we got here. This is some story that came out today. Could a statement from Premier Kathleen Wynne mark a turning point in the provincial election campaign, a turn for the nasty? A political scientist at the University of Windsor thinks it was inevitable. Now, I don't know which university, the University of Windsor, I think the University of Windsor, I think is a Jesuit school. Pretty sure it is because I had, that was the University of Windsor, called me a few years back wanting to discuss some stuff for their university newspaper. And, you know, we got talking about stuff and they'd interviewed someone else I know. And, you know, I said, well, she would have given you all the info you want on that, so we should talk about some other stuff. And, you know, I said, but what we're talking about now, you can't print in the paper. He says, there's no way they'll let us print any of that stuff. Exactly. But it's a Jesuit school, as far as I know. So we have a political scientist at the Jesuit University of Windsor thinks it was inevitable. Like, you need a political scientist to come out from a university and tell you, oh, there's an election going on, it's going to get nasty. When the hell did an election not be nasty? But he's an expert. Oh, I don't know if it's a he or a she. Anyways, Wednesday, Premier the lesbian, Muslim-loving Premier Kathleen Wynne responded to comments progressive conservative leader Doug the Nutcase Ford made in Brockville the day before. Ford was announcing he would call in an outside audit of the Wynne government spending on his first day in office if his party is elected June 7th. Now, all of these nutcases are going, oh, way to go, yeah, we need an audit, yada, 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 yada. You know, now, that's not a platform, right? This is for the idiots. That doesn't solve anything there, Mr. Ford. Right? It doesn't shut our borders down to all this illegal immigration. It doesn't shut down the sanctuary cities. It doesn't do nothing. What it does is it titillate the idiots. Right? Anyways, he says if Kathleen Wynne tried to pull these kinds of shady tricks in private life, then there would be a few more liberals joining David Livingston in jail, he said, referencing a former top aide of former Premier, the lawyer, liar, Dalton McGuinty, who was convicted of destroying documents related to the cancellation of gas power plants, which, by the way, having had a long conversation with the senior policy advisor of the Minister of Energy about the closing of the coal plants and the putting up of all these stupid windmills and that, he told me something I didn't know at that time, was that in fact these gas plants they're putting up are more dangerous to health than the coal plants with the scrubbers attached, because they are great emitters of ground level ozone. So they tell you got to close the coal plants down because the word was it was killing 1,600 people a year, the emissions from the coal plants. Well, there wouldn't be any emissions from the coal plants if you put damn scrubbers on the things. But as the senior policy advisor said to me, he says, yeah, well, while the scrubbers would cut the emissions down to nothing, it doesn't stop CO2, which is the evil gas, because everything in your life is attached to CO2, right? So, you know, you exhale it. So that makes you the enemy. So Doug Ford sounds like Donald Trump, and that's because he is like Donald Trump when the lesbian premier fired back. He all but chanted, lock her up, talking about me. Well, you should be locked up. Every damn politician in this country should be locked up, because every politician in this country is just on the end of the puppet strings doing what the internationalists want done. And that's destroy the nation. Indebt it to hell. At the University of Windsor, Associate Professor of Political Science, Lydia, oh God, oh Lydia, what do you got to say, Lydia? Is not surprised and says the liberal campaign may have started the tit for tat when it launched at taking aim at Ford. Okay, well, whoever wrote this can't write nothing. But anyways, it's in the news. So let's see. Lydia says, we know from past elections that the liberals do fight hard. They sometimes do it directly and sometimes they do it indirectly, explains Lydia, pointing to the use of third-party ads. This time it's a bit different, because the liberals have put forward, I think, a million-dollar ad campaign pre-writ to attack Doug Ford. So I guess desperate times call for desperate measures. Let's see. The statement from our lesbian premier, Kathleen Wynne, continues. Michelle Obama, who I admire greatly, recommended when they go low, we should go high. I love that idea when she said it, until we ended up with Donald Trump in the White House. So I'm sorry, but not again. Not here in Ontario. I'm not going to go high. I'm going to go low. I'm going to call that bullying behavior out for what it is. Now, these are people that are running in an election to be the premier of the province, to be head of the government, and this is the kind of childish bullshit that's going on. Now, I don't know. I've seen reports that Michelle Obama is actually a transgender or whatever, and maybe because Wynn's a lesbian, maybe she holds Obama in high regard. I don't know. But the point is that Donald Trump has nothing to do with Ontario. Michelle Obama has nothing to do with Ontario. So this crap gets put in the paper and people go, oh yeah, I really like Michelle Obama, right? And I really hate Donald Trump. Well, have you ever met Donald Trump? Do you even know what Donald Trump's up to? I would say you don't, right? Do you know what Obamas were up to? I'd say you don't. Did you ever have a dinner with either one of them? I'd say probably not. So you're just, feeding off the garbage that you see written down. One's good, one's bad. It depends which side you're on, that the other one's good, the other one's bad. It has nothing to do whatsoever with running a province. As for whether a vicious election campaign serves the public, Lydia weighs the pros and cons, saying there is nothing wrong with a candidate who puts forth their policy and criticizes the platform of the opponent. It's not about getting along. It's about substantive differences in how we envision the future, she says. The problem with the attack ads, and especially this round of it, it's not talking about policy at all. This is pure personality. Well, there's not much point in talking about policy because they don't have any policies, because the only policies they're going to implement is what they're told to implement from outside this country. So they don't have any policies, and even if they tell you their policy, it isn't their policy. Okay, these are puppets. You've got the globalist hand up their ass, and when they wiggle their fingers, the puppets speak. While the Tories are riding high in the polls, a survey earlier this month puts public support at 42.3%, with a 90% probability of winning a majority in June. Lydia admits there is a slim chance a nasty campaign will hurt both the Tories and the Liberals. There's room for Conservative support to go down. Certainly the NDP could benefit from some of these battles, she says, but they're pretty low in the polls. The same poll suggests the Liberals have 27.8% of the public support, while the NDP has 22.6%. However, it says the NDP has just a 0.2% probability of winning the most seats. And Ford is going to make a visit to Chatham, Ontario, Friday night. It's just ludicrous. Absolutely ludicrous. What's going on in this province and in this country. And regardless of who gets in, be it conservative and or liberal, I would really like to see a minority government so that the people can see that all of these puppets are on the same side. I think that would help maybe people understand that it's Puppetville. It's theater. It would be okay if it was just entertainment, but it's costing you a lot. You know, the debt in Ontario is either close to or is now the same as or surpassed the debt of California. We have 14 million people here in Ontario, thereabouts, and they have about 40 million people in California. This is how well run our province is. Now, here's a Environmental First in Chatham, Kent. which is Southern Ontario. And this is important, folks, so listen up. With Earth Day on Sunday, the Ursuline Sisters of Chatham have launched a new environmental initiative at Villa Angela, which is a first in Chatham, Kent. So I haven't read it yet, but you may want to get there because it's a first. A high-tech commercial composter is now turning all table scraps at the 50-resident home into rich compost fertilizers. Official with Villa Angela say the enclosed cylindrical composter, dubbed the Rocket, will remove 6 tons of food from the waste stream each year and will improve its waste diversion from 32% to 70%. George Brown of Mass Environmental Services, which is the Canadian distributor of the composter, says the new composter will lessen the environmental footprint by sending less organic waste to the landfill. In Canada, there's over 13 million tons of food waste sent to landfill each year. That breaks down to 110 kilos per person on an annual basis, says Brown. Villa Angela, which will use the compost for its gardens, and the extra black gold will be used at the community gardens in Chatham, Kent. The new project has been 4 months in the making. Sister Anne says the old composters were too slow and filled up too fast. Brown says the Rocket lessens methane gas in landfills, and that's good for the environment because methane gas is 25 times stronger than CO2. But, CO2 is what you exhale, and you, man, is the enemy. Okay, not methane. Let's see here. It's forecasted in Ontario that we will need 16 new or expanded landfills by 2015 if no progress is made to keep materials out of the landfill, he says. Brown says the new composter is in a temperature-controlled garage and turns organic waste into compost within 14 days, which is cheaper for taxpayers because it's being diverted from the landfill. Breaks down to 31 billion. What's this? 31 billion, or $868 per person each year. Unfortunately, taxpayers are paying to monitor methane levels in landfills today. Brown says, "Whoop, do you friggin' do?" Now, I don't know how much this Rocket composter costs, I don't have a problem. In fact, I was going to start an environmental company many years ago, and one of the ideas was to, it was before the recycle trucks came out, and I had thought about doing recycling. The glass and the cardboard and all that stuff. But one of my main things was the compost, you know. And the idea was to just, you know, get a chunk of farmland and just windrow the compost and roll it over, and then you got, you know, basically topsoil. I don't have a problem with any of that stuff. But I think what you're going to find is you're going to find that we're going to composting. There's a bigger story behind all of this because what they're trying to do here now is they don't want you using fossil fuels in this country. So the next latest greatest scam that is just setting itself up is the biodigesters, okay, which you're going to put organic foods and stuff into. because they're going to now, the natural gas pipelines are already in the process of moving renewable natural gas into the natural gas pipelines. So with all this push on composting and that, what you're going to end up with is you're going to end up with these offshore companies, same as the windmill companies, the solar panel companies, and they're going to get contracts to produce renewable natural gas. And the OEB is in charge of setting your both your electricity rates and your gas rates. And we've seen how your electricity rates have been manipulated through mid-sky. I mean, they have gone through the atmosphere. And there's a lot of people making a lot of money off your back through this. And the next part of the scam is the biodigesters to replace natural gas. And they will get contracts. And the municipalities will be feeding methane in. And, you know, the rocket over here at the old age home, I guess it is making dirt. But the dumps in that are all set up with methane capture. And so the municipalities are all on board for this up here. We don't have natural gas here. Why would we have natural gas? We've got the largest freaking nuclear plant, what, 10 miles from here? So they want to bring in natural gas in here, and the media is all touting it, the politicians are all touting it, the councils are all touting it as natural gas is coming to the area. Well, folks, it ain't natural gas. It's going to be very expensive renewable gas. And they will set it up the same thing with the windmills, that it's going to create jobs. Well, temporarily, and all these jobs are tied to the windmills. I mean, come on, they stick the stupid whirligigs up and they split, and then they just collect money. And like I tell people, you vision a windmill going around, or a wind turbine going around, envision that each time that blade points to the ground, there's a hand on the end of that, and that is reaching into your pocket and stealing from you. And now we're going to add the biodigesters and all this nonsense into the game, and you're going to be robbed even more. Okay. Now there's a film, and I cut it a little bit. I think I put both up, the long version, and I cut it down to 25 minutes or something, called Survival Spaceship Earth. Starring Morris Strong and David Rockefeller and a bunch of, social justice warriors and so-called scientists and whatnot. And, you know, that thing was made in 72. It was a primer for the 72 Stockholm Conference on the Human Environment. And in that, they specifically state that electricity or energy is not priced high enough. Because it's not priced high enough, you're using too much of it. And therefore, you're causing a problem for the planet somehow. And therefore, the only way to get you to use less energy is to at least minimum double the price. Well, you know, it takes the time for to work these things, their plans through, but our electricity prices in Ontario here have at least doubled in price in the last few years, all part of the plan. And they will continue to go up. Enron was involved in setting up the scam in Ontario, as it was set up the scam in Alberta. And, you know, the thing that kills me is you have the conservative slant bitching and complaining about the liberal slant, but While the Enron connection or the Enronization of our energy in both Alberta and Ontario was going on, it was not a liberal Minister of Energy. It was the conservative Minister of Energy that was being flown to Houston, Texas to visit with Ken Lay as they put this scam together. And everybody, that had anything to do with energy in this province had Enron lobbyists attached to them. The media was on side. The emails say the media was on side. And so on and so forth. There's even an email in there that states that there was some concern because as they were Enronizing our energy system here in Ontario, which is just about manipulation of energy systems because that's what Enron was involved in, and while they were destroying or really pulling the cash out of California on their scam, their energy scam, there was some concern in Ontario that maybe people from Ontario would go, whoa, what the hell is going on here? But they were confident that they could work through that. And, if you want to read this stuff, just put in Ontario Energy Scam. It should come up on my old blog, canadiantruths.wordpress.com. Just let me see if I can get this here. I don't know if it'll pop or not. Let's see if it pops. Let me see here. That doesn't pop there. But anyways, if you put in canadiantruths.wordpress.com, and in the search engine there, just put Ontario Energy Scam, or Ontario Energy Scam. It should pop up. Let me try this. This will probably bring it up. Because Jim Wilson was the Minister of Energy at the time. Let's see if that pops. Well, isn't that interesting? Oh, here it is. Okay, this is, if you put this in, it will pop for you. If you just type in Ontario Energy Scam and the Enron Connection, that will come up. But you can still go to canadiantruths.wordpress.com and just put in Energy Scam and you'll get the same thing up. The emails are absolutely... I did a lot of digging on this. And it's so in your face, it's ridiculous. But now, we've got this fight going on between the Liberals and the Conservatives here in Ontario. And the Conservatives are blaming the Liberals for messing up the hydro system when it was the Conservatives that were involved in it with Enron set it up. We actually ended up at the OEB with the COO, the chief operating officer, was the lead lobbyist for Enron. And he's got himself parked at the OEB. He's not there now. He's into a new scam. But was parked there to manipulate our hydro system. And the same thing happened to Alberta at the same time when Ralph Klein, conservative, was the premier of Alberta. So this idea that you're yelling about the Liberals or the NDP, although the NDP in Ontario did kick it off with the Morris Strong at the helm of the startup of the takedown of our hydro system and the sell-off of our hydro system, all three parties are involved in it. So when these parties are bitching and complaining at each other, how can you give these parties any credit? How could you possibly vote for one of these parties? I mean, they're straight out lying to you. I mean, straight out lying to you. And this goes on. I mean, politicians are psychopathic sociopaths. They're power freaks. They're great globalist puppets. They're not very intelligent. They don't question anything. They just do as they're told, and you suffer the consequences. So, you know, having this other I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Now, I'm just going to, I haven't done this for a long, long time. So I'm just going to buzz through some of this stuff because why not? Okay, so basically this is what I wrote. When did I put this up here? 2014. I think I originally put it up sooner than that. But anyways, I got looking around and went to email hunting and managed to dig some out. The sales pitch, and I put this at the very beginning. Attention, okay? If you are a consumer of electricity, you are unwittingly involved in a massive fraud, which it is. It's a complete and total fraud. But, you know, people in this country, they just like to bitch and complain about stuff. They don't want to really look at anything. They don't really want to know the truth. They just enjoy bitching and complaining for some reason. So, the sales pitch when Jim Wilson was in power was hydro bills may drop 20%. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? And how are we going to do that? Well, we're going to do it through deregulation and amalgamation. Now, they amalgamated a whole slew in my neck of the woods. Each municipality had their own part of the electrical system. And so now 8 of our municipalities here joined up together, and a new system was started, and it was supposed to save money, okay, because you don't have duplication now. It's all held out of one, worked out of one office. And it was a public-private partnership. So that's good for the public. Well, that lasted for 7 years, and then when nobody was looking, it became private 100%. And when I was talking to one of the directors of the company, Westerio Power, and said, how in the hell did this of being a public-private partnership, public coming first, therefore standing above the private, how in the hell did this become private without anybody knowing about it? And he kind of stumbled around for a bit and then said, well, the lawyers did it. I've said too much and didn't want to talk anymore. So it's a total scam, okay? You're being banged around big time. So, Toronto Sun, Thursday, June 11th, 1998. This is how long this has been going. It actually started in 92. With Bob Ray / Cohen, who appointed his godfather, Morris Strong, international criminal, to revamp Ontario Hydro. So Toronto Sun, Thursday, June 11, 1998, Toronto consumers should be the first to benefit from plans to deregulate Ontario Hydro. Energy Minister Jim Wilson said yesterday, the amalgamation of Toronto's 6 local utilities and plans to end Ontario Hydro's 92-year monopoly should substantially cut power bills in the city, he said. Toronto Hydro has estimated bills could drop by as much as 20%. Now, this is coming out of the mouth of Jim Wilson, the Minister of Energy, who was being flown down to Houston, Texas, Enron's head office, to put this scam together with Ken Lay. Now, Jim Wilson was the Minister of Energy in the Mike Harris PC government and was a central figure in the electrical system scam in Ontario. Mr. Wilson and the Harris government worked closely with Ken Lay and other Enron lobbyists to build an electrical system designed to hurt consumers and businesses. And that's exactly what he's done. Now, I wrote that part of it, and I think I wrote this as well. The electrical scam in Ontario started with the Bob Rae NDP government when Maurice Strong, Rae's godfather, broke up Ontario Hydro. The electricity scam continued through the Harris and McGuinty governments. The today Premier Kathleen Wynne and the Liberal Party administer the Enron-styled electrical rate manipulation scam. The OEB and the government use the frauds, deceptions of conservation and sustainable development Agenda 21 as an excuse for the rate increases and for as a front for the crimes being committed on the hardworking people of Ontario. Now, let's see here. Alec Dadson, a former Enron lobbyist, is the COO, Chief Operating Officer of the OEB. The OEB sets the ever-increasing electrical rates you pay. A letter from Ken Lay of Enron to Energy Minister Wilson in 2001. The Honorable Jim Wilson, Minister of Energy, Science and Technology, the Hearst Block, 4th floor, 900 Bay Street, Toronto. Dear Minister Wilson, now this is from Ken Lay. John Laborato and I would like to thank you, as well as Brian Purchaser, Judy Hubert, and Rick Jennings for taking the time to meet with us in Toronto on June 19th. I was pleased to meet you again after your brief visit to Houston and to the Enron building last year. John and I particularly appreciated the discussion with you and your colleagues about the opening of the Ontario electricity market. In our view, Ontario is well down the path towards creating a effective, deregulated electricity market. We would encourage the government to move forward to market opening in accordance with the market readiness plan adapted earlier this year by Ontario Energy Board and the Independent Energy Market Operator. We understand that the government has a set deadline of May 2002 for opening the market. From Enron's perspective, we remain confident that the market can and should be open earlier than that date. Establishing and adhering to an early market opening date will, in our view, assist the government in ensuring a smooth and successful transition to the new competitive environment. As we discussed in our meeting, the Texas restructuring plan highlights the importance of a fixed date in attaining investment or in attracting investment capital for the electricity sector. My colleagues and I look forward to continuing our dialogue with the government and in particular with the ministry regarding electricity restructuring and related issues. Again, thank you for the opportunity to meet with you and your colleagues. Yours sincerely, Kenneth Lay, Chairman, Enron Corp. Now, this is really sad because you have a Houston-based company directing the government on how to run our electricity market when Enron was already destroying the California energy market. Now, here's a revealing email by Alec Dadson, formerly of Enron, Vice President of Energy Direct, and now COO of the OEB. From Alec Dadson to Richard Shapiro at Enron.com. Ken Lay, subject, Ken Lay, John Laborato, briefing material. June 7th. 2001. Foreword by Ali Gadsden. Let's see. Subject: Ken Lay, John Ladivarato. Briefing material: Have attached the following high-level outline of the speaking points for Ken Lay and John Ladivarato for their meeting with Premier Harris, and I hope Wilson, Purchas, and Hubert. And more detailed briefing note, which outlines key developments since April 4th, our position regarding market opening, and the key issues that have been raised against opening the market this fall, differences between California and Ontario, and Enron's assessment of possible difficulties in New York City this summer. I'm awaiting material from Houston to complete the piece on New York City. One piece that I think needs to be added to the detailed briefing note is the overview of Enron's current commercial position on Ontario, i.e. the renegotiation of the BE contract and the likelihood of pursuing a retail initiative. You will see where I have left space for that piece, hoping that you would draft it. I have endeavored in the outline of the speaking points to focus on what we know the key issues, concerns for the government are at this stage. I have asked Sasha Jacob to provide us with profiles of Harris, Wilson, Purchas, and Hubert to include in the final briefing package. I have prepared the material on the assumption that the best use of the meeting time, likely 45 minutes with Harris, 60 minutes with Wilson, to make the case for proceeding with market opening this fall. Let's see. Wilson is new interim leader of Ontario PC Party. IMO and OEB reports remarket readiness are positive. To provide Harris with our perspective on developments in the U.S., particularly New York and California, about which the government may have continuing concerns. And see it as Harris what we can do to help the government move forward to a market opening this year. Rick Shapiro left me a voicemail indicating that Lavaretto and he had spoken about the visit and the supporting material. The agreement between the two of them is evidently that, Rob, you and I are all to be comfortable with the briefing material before sending it to John, who will then review it and propose any changes he feels necessary before it is forwarded to Ken Lay. I would appreciate your questions, comments, and suggested revisions. Alec Dadson's. So, proposed agenda: Ontario Marketing Market Opening Conference Call, April 12, 2001. One, where we are at regarding market opening. Two, what we have done, what we are doing. And three, what to do going forward. Ontario Market Opening Initiatives. Regulatory initiatives: ongoing participation on OEB Retail Market Readiness Task Force to define market readiness plan in retail sector. The plan targets retail readiness by early September 2001, the live market operations late October, early November 2001. Board representation and participation to the committee's task force are overseeing and testing commissioning at the IMO systems. Ongoing contact with OEB, IMO, and PricewaterhouseCoopers, key advisors to government on retail market readiness. The media have built relationships with key newspapers, in particular Global Mail and the National Post. So the media was fully aware of the scam, the Enronization of our energy system, but they don't talk about it. Virtually all supportive editorial coverage on market opening issues has been the result of our efforts. Columns by Riguli and Global Mail and Corcoran in the National Post. National Post is writing another article on market opening for April 17th. And Corcoran interviewed Ken Lay on April 4th, Ken Lay on Rob TV April 4th, Ken Lee's speech broadcast on Rogers Cable and CPAC. McPenny appears with message on CBC and TV Ontario regarding market opening. Latest is April 12th. estimated reach 280,000 Ontario households on each occasion. Queen Park contact lobbying, numerous meetings with key ministry and political staff, contacts in Premier's office, Minister of Energy, Minister of Finance, Ontario Superbill, Ministry of Economic Development and Trade, Ministry of the Environment. See the contact list. Core messaging has been on the points made in Ken Lay's speech. Develop further message regarding resource adequacy and pricing to address concerns raised by major power consumers about fall opening. Have met regarding same with Premier's office, Minister of Energy, the IMO, Superbuilt. Further meetings already arranged for the Premier's office and finance. Developing further messages regarding pricing, comparing what bulk power rates would be have to be under regulation and what wholesale prices would be under competition. Have retained Seaborn, Adamson, / Kevin Wellness to do analysis events. Arrange for Toronto Board of Trade to adapt our messaging regarding market opening in fall and got them to hold a press conference. Ken Lay's speech at Board of Trade April 4th. Ken Lay lunch to introduce the press message regarding market opening into three of Premier Harris' key advisors on electricity issue, Bill Farlinger, Jim Bailey, and David Lindsay. Board of Trade events above dovetailed well with parallel on-message event by Toronto Hydro going forward. Lay meeting with Premier Harris have been promised proposed dates from Premier's office by this Friday. Attendance at Premier's reception and dinner, April the 19th. Fundraiser, Bill Hawkins, key political advisor to the Premier on electricity issues, will be at our table. Efforts to get some major industrial consumers and customer groups on side publicly with our message regarding fall. I can detail what we are doing in that regard, identify ways in which we can lever Enron systems to overcome any concern about distributor readiness, continue to press Independent Power Producers Society of Ontario to mount public advertising campaign comparable to IPPSA's ads in Alberta. Okay. Meeting with investment banks, message regarding importance of early market opening to valuation of OPG assets. Potential retainer of Tom Long, Leslie Noble, Strategy Group, two key advisor to Premier Harris. Note Long had been invited to Ken Lay lunch but could not attend. Noble is key PC campaign organizer. She may be conflicted because of a work for OPG. She is evidently advising for political reasons that market opening be pushed off until after the next election. Levering of U.S. government regulatory bodies, Enron Canada, Ken Lay addressed a breakfast meeting of the Toronto Board of Trade Wednesday, April 4th, as part of the Power Breakfast series. His topic, moving forward with electricity deregulation. Before his speech, Chairman of the Board commented that this was the best attendance ever at one of their breakfast meetings. After the meeting, Mr. Lay spoke with reporters from Reuters, the Globe and Mail, the National Post, and report on Business TV, emphasizing Enron's commitment to deregulation of the Ontario market, power market. Now, if that doesn't make anybody puke, I don't know what would. This is how your government operates, okay? Your government isn't your government, okay? All of these governments are corporations. And these boys high up in these corporations are skinning your ass. Okay? They manipulate, they deceive, they lie, and they all work together for whose benefit? Yours. When Ontario Hydro was created, there was a purpose for it. It was not about scamming money out of your pocket. Ontario Hydro was established specifically to give our manufacturers a advantage by using lower energy rates. And that system worked. Our province here had some of the cheapest rates, if not the cheapest rates in North America. families heated their home electrically. It was inexpensive, and it was reliable. And our manufacturing sector, Ontario was the hub of manufacturing for the entire country. Now we manufacture squat. Your hydro bills, your energy bills are through the freaking ceiling. Your electrical system, which we paid for and built, is being sold off to these renegade criminals posing as government. And, I mean, if you're the Ministry of Energy and you're the premier, and the system's been here for many, many, many decades, and you got to go and hitch up with Enron to figure out a better way to run the system. And the system, by the way, ran really well. You're dealing with a bunch of criminals. So you don't have government. Okay, you have criminal elements posing as government, robbing you blind. And, you know, here's the thing after Mike Harris was gone and the PCs got voted out. Here's another story that I apparently put in here. Dalton McGuinty announces $8 billion investment in green energy. Now, Enron was also involved in the wind industry, and I forget which company bought after Enron went broke. I think it was Florida Power and Light, or Light and Power, whatever it's called, that bought up the wind assets of Enron. I think that's who it was. And then they're up here putting in windmills, which don't work. But the people that put them in get a guaranteed payback whether they produce anything. And so your hydro rates keep going up. And people got to wake up. You know, they really desperately need to wake up. You're being scammed, folks. You're being scammed at every level of government, from the municipal level, which has got CAO setting the agendas for the numbnut councils to vote on, which is implementing the globalist UN agendas down our throats, which is environment and the LGBTQ and mental illness and you name it. It's coming from there. They control your energy. They control your monetary. They control your farming, they control your education, they control your health care, and it's all being implemented at the local level and goes all the way up to the federal level. So you don't got anybody on side in your province, your municipality, or your country. Okay, you've been duped, you're being robbed, and it's time you come to terms with it, plain and simple. Because this cannot be allowed to continue. Anyways, I see we're about out of time. Should hear music pretty quick. If you want to pass that around, you can just go to canadiantruths.wordpress.com and punch in energy, Ontario energy scam. And you will see this information, which is, I didn't write it. You know, I wrote a little bit, but it's all emails in there. Who's involved, why you're involved, and how we stand. So with that, take care, everybody. Hear music. Selling lies and buying time. Killing people next in line. Lower classes, social slime. They don't matter. Genocide. Sick from water. Sick from air. Making money. They don't care. Caesar shit. Force of air. Fuck them back. It's only for they bomb. They shoot. They kill. They massacre. Parade. They burn. The kids. No one makes gun. Trees. Lie. To your face. Thank you.